On Friday night, the 14th of October, the film The Drowning will make its North American premiere at the Woodstock Film Festival. That will include a Q&A with the director of the film, Betty Gordon, and actor Josh Charles, among others. Josh Charles stars as Tom Seymour, a psychologist who jumps into an icy river to save a drowning man, only to discover that he's the same boy he put away for murder 12 years earlier. When the young man begins to mysteriously reappear around town and starts a suspicious new friendship with Tom's wife, played by Julia Stiles, Tom is drawn into a reinvestigation of the case where he realizes his wife may suddenly be the victim of a revenge plot. The film will also be shown on Sunday afternoon at the Orpheum Theater in Saugerties, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Josh Charles and Betty Gordon to the roundtable this morning. Thank you both for being with us. A delight to have you on the program. So let us begin with you, Betty, as to how you came to this project.
A few years ago, sadly, my best friend, oldest girlfriend, was murdered by her 19-year-old son. Devastated as I was, I watched the kid grow up. He was a great kid, and he loved his mother. So I was desperate for some kind of explanation, and a friend gave me this book called Border Crossing by Pat Barker, and I knew who she was. I had read her work before. She's an amazing British author who's really well known for a series called Regeneration Trilogy. I found that she was exploring questions that helped me think about what had happened, questions of evil, whether evil can ever really be explained, let alone treated. And as a culture, it became of interest to me that we're both horrified and fascinated by the dark side of human nature, and I think it's because there's an element of that darkness in all of us, and that's what I wanted to explore and hopefully did explore in this film.
Josh, what was the lure for you?
Well, I think Frank Pugliese was one of the writers in the film, is someone that I've known for a long time. And he reached out to me and said that Betty was interested in me for her film, and we sat down and we met, and aside from being really intrigued by the script, I really just sort of fell in love with Betty. I just clearly you could tell that the story was very personal to her, and immediately read the book and became fascinated with the book. And obviously, you know, a movie can't always be identical to a book, where things can be much more internal, and where things have to sort of just be more active in a film, have to come alive more, be more cinematic. But it was really great to read that, and it was really Betty who drew me to the project. Just her intelligence, her energy, her spirit, her collaborative spirit. And when you're making an independent movie, you know, at least most of them these days, I'd say, you know, you're not going to make any money. You know, you're really doing it because it's something that you believe in, be it the material or a person. And I would say, I was a big fan of this novel upon reading it, and how nuanced it was and how thought-provoking it was. And also, you know, a big fan of Betty. Just instantly, I remember just calling my agent saying, I love this lady. She's got such great energy. And she does. She's so wicked smart, as they say up in Boston. But she's very smart, and also, you know, just a true lover and a teacher, obviously, as she teaches as well, cinema. And I really liked being in her company, and I really enjoyed our process of working on the script together, grabbing the book again, both of us, and sort of reading it again and going back and trying to infuse as much as we could of the book back into the movie, even though knowing that the movie also would be its own thing as well. And I really enjoyed that. We'd meet almost every day for about a 3-week period at a place near me, and just we'd get together and have our coffee or our breakfast or what have you, and talk about the script.
You know, Betty, Josh was just talking about the thought-provoking nature of this. You also spoke earlier about, you know, this question of evil. But there are many things, many issues that are explored in the film. But there's a moment very early on when the character Tom realizes that this kid that he put away when he was 11 years old is now grown up, and it's startling for him, and it's startling for the audience, and sort of at that point you look at everything a little bit differently, don't you?
I think you know, that question of something from the past that comes back is also something that everybody, I think, has at one time in their lives or another. I mean, this is an extreme case, but in his professional life, Tom has more or less put this away, whether it touched something deeper inside of him, because we know he has his own past issues and secrets. So when he gives testimony that convicts this kid, or that helps to convict this kid, he does it for a lot of reasons, which now those reasons are back, and he needs to explore whether he was right. And I think we all have that moment. Did we do the right thing? And this is a big question, because the kid is back, and now he's saying, I'm innocent, and you need to, you know, work on this with me. So it kind of sets the ball rolling. It's a great, you know, kind of inciting moment for Tom, and it's so much Tom's story. I mean, it's so much about his, you know, internal need to prove himself right or wrong, and yet there's a kind of secret in his past. So perhaps this mission of finding out the truth is somewhat compromised in a way. And I think even the audience grapples with, wait a minute, did this kid do it? We love this kid. He's so charming. He couldn't have done it. And even if he did do it, you know, what about that? So I don't know. I think it really gets the audience to think more deeply, questions of, I suppose, even morality as a kind of murky territory. You know, what is that border that we can or cannot all, well, I think we can all cross it, given the right circumstances.
Tell us a little bit about the young man who plays Danny Miller, a.k.a. Ian Wilkerson.
I had seen him on a casting session, and he seemed right. I mean, he was still young enough, but he had a bit of maturity, because there are many great kids, but Danny had to also play in an adult world, a charmer, a manipulator. And I think it was great when finally, after all the work that Josh and I did, and he spoke about it so beautifully, because I think once you have actors involved, and particularly Josh as Tom, we really could dig deeply together. So when Avin, who plays Danny, came to join us, we three worked together to shape a character who could have been over the top, who could have been too extremely one thing or another, but the nuance that Josh, I think, brings to everything he does is exactly what we were able to infuse the Danny character with. So he's coming to ask for help, you know, is important, because he doesn't hit us hard, or nor does he hit Tom hard in the beginning. So I think that was very important to Josh and my working process.
I would say it was a big part of the work we did, probably more so than even on my character, was just a lot of discussing, because I think so much of the movie hinges on that. You know, it hinges on the idea of not only Tom getting hooked back into this, whether or not he's responsible, and whether or not he made the wrong decision in putting Danny, in helping putting Danny away when he was a young boy, that he's wrestling with that, you know, that there's something inside of him that needs to know that answer. And so I think a lot of the work that we did was based on Danny's character of making that clear from the beginning, that, you know, he doesn't come on too aggressive, too angry in the beginning, so that he can kind of suck him in, and also, you know, play the part, play the game, I should say, you know, a little bit better. And so that was fun, and I think something that we enjoyed doing. And I think Avin did a really nice job with the role.
Yeah.
Do you enjoy Josh playing in a thriller, that sense where there's that electric thread that connects pretty much every scene?
Yeah, I mean, that I did. That is what I mean. What drew me to the story is just the murky nature of the shadow, you know, the darkness of our past, and our past coming back to haunt us, and, you know, how do you define evil, and, you know, how much of us, if we really tap into our own sort of psyche and our own subconscious, you know, realize that we have many different characters that are capable of many different things.
Yep.
And usually most of us don't act on them. So it was a matter of, like, connecting, you know, of finding this character that's sort of connecting with himself as he's on this journey of trying to sort of figure out exactly what happened with Danny. And I think that's partly what drew me to the film. You know, I think reading the book, it's much more meditative. as books can tend to be, you know, and that they have that luxury.
Right.
But the meditation on the sort of nature of evil and the dynamic of therapist and patient and father and son, and that those dynamics really where I play, and we tried as much to infuse them back into the, you know, into the screenplay, and so that it stayed true to the nature of the book. Even though we make some jumps here and there, I would say, right, mm-hmm. Betty? But I think ultimately that was really, you know, living in that world of just ambiguity and sort of uncertainty and trying to figure out, like, not just Tom but the audience as we're watching, you know, what's this game here? What's this kid playing? Is he genuine? Is he not? Is he messing with him? Is he sincere? And the more that we could kind of keep that going, the more I thought that, you know, it made it more of an interesting ride. So, and I don't think I've ever done, you know, worked in this genre before, so that was fun, and to do it with someone like Betty was really special.
And the genre itself offers so much. I mean, you know, it generally can be, you know, sort of plot driven, but because it's Pat Barker, that philosophical and psychological depth that it is possible to get into a kind of a thriller noir story is so much more rewarding, I think, because it isn't just at the level of plot, it's at a much deeper level, and the kind of ambiguities Josh is referring to really are things that, I mean, finding the truth, of course, is you know, something that everybody does in their lives, you know, at certain times, and I think it just taps into the psychology of the viewer, and I'm always interested in that.
As I mentioned in the introduction, the film will be making its North American premiere at the Woodstock Film Festival. So what does that mean for the two of you?
Fun.
Yeah. Fun time in the fall in upstate New York. You know, it's a big deal to in this world, I think, today, just to you know, that independent cinema, you know, exists still, that it's out there. People are hustling to make their movies, you know, a movie like this, as Betty said earlier in the interview here, just clearly coming from an inspired from a place that was very meaningful to her. And that's what drives these things, because it's not money. So, you know, you make these things because of people, because of the love of the project. And so it's nice to have that celebration, to have it be seen. You know, it's going to play another festival in Europe before, and there'll be some other ones after. And I think this is just, you know, for me, a chance to come up and see some of the people from the film and to really give Betty a big hug and a glass of wine and just celebrate with her, because, you know, she put a lot of time into this and a lot longer than the actors do, certainly. And she really is a very special woman. So,
thank you, Josh. And it is true celebration. I mean, it is pretty hard to make a film. I've heard a lot of directors over time talk about their journeys and people who have done, you know, a lot of hard things in their lives, and I think making a film is quite difficult, just from the journey in the beginning, from getting an idea, developing it into a script. You know, the journey is long, as I'm sure you know, and you've heard years of somebody's life. So you really have to believe deeply in what you're doing, and never lose hope or never lose sight of that thing that you want to say. I think having clarity is really important, and going after that is just, you know, the thing that I always hold in front of me no matter what else happens. I know what I want to say, and I go for that. And so being able to share it with an audience, of course, is wonderful, because it is a kind of last moment of living in my head for so long, and then working with Josh and all of the actors and sort of, you know, understanding it between us. But now it's giving it to a community of people, and that feels wonderful, you know.
Yeah,
hopefully they'll like it.
I always say, you know, when I'm doing a play, it's like there's a moment also when you almost can forget that it actually is out there for people to be seen. The process of digging in and working, to me, is always, it just for me personally, I mean, it's always one of the most exciting parts, digging in, trying to find new stuff, figuring it out, getting to all the layers that you can in either in a script or in the performance as you're trying to craft it. So that I always feel a little sad usually when the, you know, rehearsal process is over, and now it's like, okay, now we're putting it on, because it's so much more playful and fun.
That's exactly why, Josh, for me, I mean, there's just no question. I mean, this work that he loves to do, I love to do as well. So you couldn't have found two happier people to be working together.
For me, as aspiring myself, as well as an actor, to direct, and Betty, aside from being a really gifted director, is also a teacher. And so, you know, I was just a sponge, you know, with her, trying to ask her things. And she really has such great knowledge of cinema, the history of cinema, making films, directing. You know, it's just, it's fun to be in her presence, you know. So that's cool.
And as a teacher, I think I never learn so much as when I teach.
And we should mention the Q&A, because it'll be quite the reunion. You'll have Betty, Josh, Avin will be there, plus the screenwriters and two of the producers.
Hopefully, fantastic. Everybody will be able to come, yeah. And we'll have the audience, you know, and so that interaction, it's true. It's like a little hard to let it go, but now it's like testing the water. Like, wow, this thing that we've created, you know, you kind of release it, and then it begins to take different shapes over time. I know with my past work as well, I become even more clear at the end of the process. Now I kind of sit in the other chair and I begin to look at it, not so much as the maker of it. I mean, I'm always the maker of it, but I try to see it, you know, with an audience, and I begin to kind of refine things that I thought earlier as I look at it just from other eyes.
The Drowning will make its North American premiere at the Woodstock Film Festival on Friday night, October 14th, followed by a Q&A with the director of the film, Betty Gordon, and actor Josh Charles. That event is sold out, but if you want to find out about standby tickets as well as the showing on Sunday afternoon at the Orpheum Theater in Saugerties, you can find out more at woodstockfilmfestival.com. woodstockfilmfestival.com. Betty Gordon and Josh Charles, thank you very much for sharing with us, and have a great time coming up to Woodstock.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks,
you very much.
Great talking to you.
Again, the name of the film is The Drowning, making its North American premiere at the Woodstock Film Festival on Friday night. You can find out more by going to woodstockfilmfestival.com. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.